Leopard in Autumn by Neil Anthony, starring David Swift, Sean Phillips, and Graham Crowden. Episode 4, The Pride and the Peacemaker.
The Chronicles of Monte Guano by Francesco Lampri, Court Secretary. Chapter the 4th. Italy, 1521. A casserole of petty states, most minuscule of all is Monte Guano, ruled by Prince Ludovico. Ludovico's royal household comprises my indispensable self, his wife Plethora, his mistress Rosalie, his three sons with their varied ambitions, and our sovereign lord himself.
I always fancied becoming Ludovico the Magnificent, patron of the arts.
Alas, my liege, among your subjects you are known as Ludovico the Frequently Exasperated.
This is the fourth time this year we have got lost on campaign because Francesco Lampri draws his snacking maps when he's snacking drunk.
Actually, it's the fifth time.
Ah, Guido, what would Father do if he didn't have a 16-year-old to correct him?
Snack off, Salvatore.
Father might appreciate it if you two weren't always squabbling in front of him.
That's right, Alessandro. Crawl to our windbag daddy just because he's the only patron of your unrecognized genius. If you get your head out of the clouds and stop fantasizing about being the
new Leonardo,
May I say a word? Thank you. I feel it my fatherly duty to inform you that although my castle's torture chamber is merely a tourist attraction, I am seriously considering reopening it if you three don't shut up.
Listen! Men and horses.
God's navel. A surprise attack.
To arms! Get the yokels off their backsides. To arms! Bring me a torch, dammit.
Peace! We come to parley.
Who might you be?
We are Umberto, Marquis of Antipathia.
Where the hell is Antipathia?
I've got a feeling we're standing in it.
Shut up, Guido.
Where do you hail from?
Monte Guano.
Where?
Oh, never mind.
So, at what hour shall we join battle?
Oh, well, why should we?
Well, you cross our border with an armed host.
Oh, you call that a host?
We suggest 1 hour after sunrise.
Right.
The ground will be dry. Artemidorus hates the mud.
Who's he talking to?
Artemidorus, our horse. What's your steed called?
Dobbin. Oh, does it matter? Look, about this battle, we have no quarrel with you.
Then why invade?
We haven't done.
Then why are you here?
We're lost.
That's ridiculous. We fight 1 hour after sunrise. It'll give you time to address your troops. We shall be delivering our ode on the hour of battle. Would you like to hear it? Ask not for whom the sackbut sounds.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, as you please. Good night.
Address the troops. Any ideas, anyone?
I have a speech in my new play.
The Revenge of Monte Guano's Muse.
Well, you could begin something like this.
Soldiers, this day is called... What day is it?
Saturday.
This day is called Saturday. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will weekly on the vigil...
What's the vigil?
Friday night.
Feast his neighbours and say, tomorrow is Saturday. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Ludovico the Prince, Salvatore and Alessandro, Guido and Guido, be in their flowing cups.
They're on the move.
Don't interrupt. Where was I? Oh, yes. Then shall we be in our cups.
He's right, they're coming.
What? That was never an hour.
Sound the trumpets.
We've only brought one.
Sound it.
I give the orders. Sound the trumpet.
Here we go again. Princes declare war and the masses go under their hooves. Dr. Luther says...
Cheer up, Father.
And I should do this because...
We're home and we're all alive. After all, no one was killed once you surrender.
After 10 minutes...
Were you too busy timing the fight to join in? We were outnumbered 7-1.
Were you too busy counting them to fight?
Oh,
my liege.
Ah, Francesco, all alone, and where, pray tell, is my glorious Gorgon and my marital Medusa?
gone, sire.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
Her Grace has been called away suddenly.
Where to?
Her Grace did not say.
Oh, well, I'll have a while with no one to boss me about. Oh, where's Rosalie?
The Countess Rosalie departed in the company of Her Grace.
They've both gone?
That is the intelligence I was endeavouring to convey to your Highness.
I wonder where the snick they are. And why go so suddenly? And why now?
Rosalie, my dear.
How is your friend?
Much better, thank you. He'd like to meet you.
Oh.
You like it here, don't you, dear?
It's the first time I've been to the Vatican. It's very kind of you to invite me along when you heard your friend was ill.
I enjoy your company, and you deserve a treat. Getting away from having to manage the menfolk, putting up with all their nonsense, will do us both good.
You know... No, I shouldn't.
What is it, dear?
Oh, it's just that everyone at Monte Guano's always wondering who your special friend in Rome actually is.
You're the first person I've told, my dear.
It's very good of you.
Well, just remember, it's our secret. If Ludovico and the boys knew just who he is, they'd start pestering him with grovelling requests and fantastic plans. I don't want my oldest and dearest friend being bothered. That's why I keep his identity a secret.
But he does help you.
Yes, he's been very helpful many times.
Have you known him a very long time?
Since we were both young. Very young.
Before Ludo?
Long before him. But we mustn't keep my friend waiting. Come.
By the way, what did the Marquis give you when you surrendered?
A consolation prize. The history of my family is littered with consolation prizes.
What was it?
A copy of his Ode on the Hour of Battle. I mean, just listen. Ask not for whom the sackbut sounds, nor question why the field runs red. It was a noble thing they did, our gallant sons, our glorious dead. Though lowly born, they knew their place and hastened to their country's call, thinking of naught but duty and prepared to give their all. I mean, I ride through mud and muck to a war that gets cancelled. I get accused of invading a state I'd never heard of. And what, after all that, do I come home with? Doggerel! Oh, I wish that there was some way to make my mark while your mother's away. Suppose, just for once, her lizard ladyship came home to find I'd raised the status of the state in some particular regard without her help. Now, what should it be?
On recent showing, nothing remotely military in nature.
Wait! That's it!
Oh, Sneck, what have I said?
I have it! Things... military. No one takes us seriously on campaign.
Or anywhere else.
I must think about this.
If we're talking about new projects, I have just the thing, actually.
Oh, Alessandro, please, not another invention.
Yes, I call it my pyrokinetic aviform apparatus.
What gobbledygook is this?
It's a flying machine.
Another one, you and your snacking obsession with flight. Birds fly, people don't. That is as the Almighty ordained.
This one's different. It rises on heated air.
Why?
Because heated air rises.
Oh, how have I lived without this knowledge?
Sire.
Francesco, guess what? Heated air rises.
Fascinating, sire. My liege, it occurs to me that with Her Grace absent, you might consider assuming responsibility for her pet project.
What, the hospice? Oh, if I meddle with that, she'll carve me into slices with her tongue.
Not meddle, sire. Embellish.
Well?
You could have the place repainted. The walls are old and flaking, a trifle dingy even. If the princess returned to find her house of peace glowing with pristine colour, it could win her gratitude. You do like it when Her Grace is grateful.
When she's grateful to me. I can't remember the last time she was. I'll think about it later. Right now, I need to concentrate. A bit of peace. And quiet!
Father, father! Guido's writing a letter to the Pope!
So, it's a list of demands!
Oh, Guido! People do not make demands of the Vicar of Christ, and definitely not at 16 years old.
Time they did. Can we talk about my flying machine?
Let's not.
For man to attempt flight is to covet a gift our Maker has withheld from us. It is distinctly blasphemous.
I want the excommunication of Dr. Luther revoked.
Restitution of all monies to those who were swindled by the sale of indulgences. I want rid of...
We owe the Pope our position. Get up His Holiness's nose and you could jeopardise our whole future.
The future is in the skies. The flying machine will carry mankind into a new age.
I demand immediate negotiations between the See of Rome and Dr. Luther and full recognition granted to his followers as an independent church.
A day of reckoning could come for schismatic heretics. You would rend the biggest barrier to
cultural credit.
Shut the snake up!
What a lovely man your friend is.
I knew you'd like him. If he hadn't felt called to the priesthood all those years ago, well...
You'd have married.
Life was simple and sweet in those days. My father was in his prime, his little island prospered. No Ludovico, no boys.
Oh. I've just had a thought.
Yes, dear?
Wouldn't it be wonderful to attend confession here? Here at the heart of the Apostolic Church?
Now there's a Christian thought. I'll see you in a little while, then. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
My child, when was your last confession heard?
When heard? 4 years ago.
In 4 years you have not confessed?
I confessed last week. I haven't been heard in 4 years.
I fail to follow you.
My parish priest is 90. He nods off.
Ah, I follow.
He's a dear soul and we all love him. But I'm inclined to think I could confess to murder and be given 10 Hail Marys and told not to do it again.
And do you attend Mass?
And now the chapel has been repaired.
Ah, the house of God has been restored. How gratifying.
Not really. My middle son's ultimate weapon blew up the kitchen next door. Half the ceiling plaster fell on the altar. And Father Ignazio said it was a portent of doom.
And was it?
Well, the next week the farmers rioted when my husband raised the taxes. A neighbouring state accused us of stealing 3 rams and a ewe, and there was almost a war. The local sheepdogs had to be treated for Appian quinsy, and the court secretary, more drunk than usual, wandered the battlements talking with his father's ghost. That was extremely strange.
Well, my child, it is not unheard of for the living to hold conversation with the departed.
But his father's not dead.
Ah, that was unusual, then. Well, all this intelligence is delightfully intriguing, but I think we should return to the matter of your confession.
I confess to the sin of pride. I enjoy having been born with my advantages in life, personal and social. I do not hanker after humility or self-sacrifice. I do not wish to be called upon to give up wealth, status, or the opportunities they bring. I delight in being me.
Christians must be prepared for the day when it may please the Lord's purposes for you to lose all things for his sake.
I should be grateful to my Maker if he could postpone that requirement indefinitely. Anyway, the state needs me. Life in my castle would be chaos without me. Although I welcome the relief of this visit, I hesitate to imagine what my husband and offspring are getting up to right now.
Yes, your concern does you credit. Your marriage must be a great joy to you.
It was, once. But he still matters to me. Though, if I know my favourite silly man, he's hatching some plan to impress me when I get back. I just hope it's not something too wild. I'll only have to untangle the trouble he'll bring on himself. I'd wager 10 ducats to a dormouse that even as we speak, he's exulting over some half-baked scheme and shouting.
Eureka! Boys, Francesco, gather round.
Uh-oh, something's in the wind.
Do you know what our armed forces lack?
Discipline, training, organisation, decent equipment.
That's not what I mean.
Loyalty, initiative, intelligence in the one sense, intelligence in the other sense.
Commitment, proper command structure, the killer instinct.
Will you three shut up? Basically, we have infantry and we have cavalry.
Cavalry. Only those addressed as Highness or Your Grace get to ride a horse.
What we lack is the third element of land warfare.
And that would be?
Artillery.
Oh, my God, he wants to buy a cannon.
Sire, have you considered what a brand new cannon costs?
Doesn't have to be brand new. We could buy a used one.
Second-hand artillery is not always safe. If the present owners are prepared to let some old weapon go, the wise will always ask themselves, why?
If you want artillery, why buy obsolete rubbish? I could give you the cannon of cannons.
You could?
I smell another crackpot creation of the mad inventor.
I confess to the sin of adultery. I am in love with someone else's husband.
Love itself is no sin, my child, if it is pure.
But I have had knowledge of him.
Oh, more than once?
every night. Sometimes during the day if he's annoyed and needs calming down.
You help him to calm down?
Hmm. He gets annoyed because his eldest and youngest sons are always quarrelling. Or because the other one wants money for his inventions. Or his wife makes him go on another campaign. Or his secretary keeps trying to explain about the economy. Or his subjects are grumbling about taxes and the price of goats.
Yes, I see. There are many things that...
And he gets annoyed because the neighbouring princes are more powerful than he is. And nobody takes him seriously. And people 10 miles away don't know his realm is there. And everyone keeps telling him this is a very small domain.
Dear daughter, if we could return to the matter of your relationship. You must understand that taking another's spouse is the worst kind of theft.
Oh, Her Grace doesn't mind.
His wife has forgiven you?
No, more than that. She's very good about it. She wants him to be happy.
With another woman?
She likes me.
Does her husband know she doesn't mind?
Yes, that's another thing that annoys him.
Is there anything in this man's life that doesn't annoy him?
I don't.
Let me understand. His wife is not annoyed by his infidelity, and the fact annoys him.
I think he thinks she should be annoyed, and he can't understand why she isn't. And not understanding things always annoys him, like Alessandro's inventions and the economy.
So, although his wife wants him to be happy, he is annoyed because she isn't annoyed, but happy. Would he be happier if she wasn't happy about the relationship? If she was annoyed with him? Would that make him happy instead of annoyed?
I think I got lost.
Not to worry, so did I.
Gentlemen, here it is. I give you the future of artillery. This is the Mark 7 repeating multi-bombard fulminator. I call it the Leonardo in honour of the...
Yes, we know who Leonardo was. What happened to Marks 1 through 6?
Teething problems.
Was one of those responsible for blowing my kitchen into my chapel?
As I say, teething problems.
I had plaster dust in my hair for a week.
Try washing it now and again.
Oh, you can't hit me. Mother hits me.
Mother's not here. So, does this thing really work?
Well, this one's not actually functional. It's just an inert-scale model. Hence, presumably, the fact that it's made of wood.
May one presume to ask, how large is the full-scale version?
5 times the size.
Five? It's a monster. What if it blows up?
Well, it's not supposed to.
Neither was the last one.
What would it cost to make the damn thing?
These are my estimates.
God's earlobes. Nobody has that much money.
We certainly haven't.
I never thought to ask, but what exactly were you doing with this contraption's predecessor in the kitchen? Using the oven to prepare the new powder. I call it Leonardite. As for the ammunition itself, this is the model. It's basically a pomegranate projectile. It disgorges its contents as it flies, spreading what I call vomit shot over a wide area, thereby...
This thing is an abomination!
Guess who's going to be on the receiving end of its attentions?
What do you mean? The enemies of my domain, that's who. Those who covet my realm. Brigand Burks like Giuseppe of San Guinari down the road. Who do you think?
The masses.
Well, here it comes.
Once again, the suffering serf class will shed their blood for the glory of ruthless rulers.
On which topic, no doubt, Martin Luther has a word to say.
Yes, he has. Dr. Luther says...
Shut up, Beano!
Well, what do you think?
I like the concept of an ultimate weapon, but...
Prohibitively costly on a scale which will keep me awake tonight.
It's a hideous tool of terror.
Its use could be made acceptable if it were to be sanctified by the church.
What?
The sheer dread of such a weapon would keep our enemies from daring to attack us. Therefore, it would be an instrument of peace.
This thing's designed to kill people, you posturing prat!
And as our Lord has it, blessed are the peacemakers. Therefore, Holy Mother Church should be prepared to bless and sanction it.
You have as much grasp of our Lord's meaning as an owl grabbing a... Soap bubble!
Take your hands off me, you scrawny wretch!
Make me, you twisted, cheat wonk
renegade!
Watch my words!
Thanks a whole heap! So much for the scale model.
Perhaps we could content ourselves, after all, with the forces your Highness already has.
Oh, no. I want a cannon, and a cannon I am going to have.
Oh, no.
Put your backs into it, for God's sake!
Sire, for 300 ducats, we could have repaired the hall and the House of Peace, re-roofed the North Tower, paid for a new pig!
Shut up, Francesco! Anyway, what are you complaining about? That grasping wretch Giuliano wanted 500, but I beat him down! Heave, come on! Get behind it, you oafs! Push!
Prince Giuliano of Phantasmi is notoriously unethical in his dealings. If he was prepared to get this antique off his hands, the chances are it will blow up when fired.
And why put it on the ramparts? We'll only have to get it down again whenever we go on campaign.
My sons are morons. I agree it's a duff-looking object.
Duff? But that thing looks like some prototype from the days when gunpowder was first discovered.
I said I agree, but there are more advantages to artillery than actual use.
Such as what?
Status! Prestige! The aura of power that hangs about a castle with that monster poking over the parapet. The five families won't dare come near us in case we bring it into battle.
Oh, here's Father Ignazio.
Good day, Father.
Oh, good day, my son. Someone wanted to see their priest?
Yes, Father, I did.
And you would be?
The prince, Ludovico.
Oh, my son, you're deluded. Ludovico is dead.
God's nostrils, must I go through this every time? My father is dead.
No, I'm not.
Not you, my father, Father.
Father Ignazio, may I present His Highness Prince Ludovico the Second?
Oh, I see. Oh, welcome to Monte Guano. When did you arrive?
4 years ago.
How may a humble servant of God be of service?
Father, we desire a formal blessing on the instrument of our future.
That would be...
It's up there. Heave, heave, damn you!
Oh, no. No, it can't be.
Yes, it's a cannon. A priceless antique bombard.
A cannon? Oh, it's the cannon. It's Monte Guano's pride. Come home again.
What?
Monte Guano's pride?
It was bought second-hand by your father's predecessor's predecessor, Clovis the Inscrutable. And as soon as he saw it, he realized what a fool he'd been. And he sold it to the Prince of Phantasmi. But not the present prince, the one previous to the present prince's predecessor.
He sold it? Straight away? Why?
Sloppy workmanship, I'm afraid. The Renaissance is not what it was.
Oh? What's wrong with it?
It's got no touch holes.
What?
Just a dimple in the metal. You could easily be fooled unless you scrutinize it most carefully.
No touch hole! It can't be fired!
300 ducats. I feel ill.
And now that swindling swine at Phantasmia sold it back to us. This means war.
What are you going to shoot at him with?
Wait. Let's keep our heads. This is now a state secret. Understand?
Yes.
Nobody need ever know with that thing on the ramparts. We have nothing to fear, so long as the secret is kept.
Hey! Do you know this cannon's got no touch holes?
Get it!
I wonder what the five families will make of all this.
I do hope the castle servants are managing to take care of the House of Peace.
I'm sure they are. We have some dear, good women. And Katerina's in charge. She's very capable. I just hope my menfolk haven't been up to anything too ludicrous.
Excuse me, Your Grace, but there's something going on ahead. Looks like troops at the frontier.
The frontier? What a pretentious name for a gate. Someone's coming. Stop the carriage!
I'm afraid the border is closed, ladies. I must ask you to turn back.
My dear man, we're on our way home. What's going on here?
The Grand Alliance, responding to extreme provocation, has invested the frontiers of Monte Guano.
The Grand Alliance?
The five families, ma'am. This measure has been forced upon our rulers by the action of Monte Guano's prince.
And what action precisely would that be?
Prince Ludovico's newly belligerent expansionist ambitions, as demonstrated by unprovoked military escalation.
We've been gone less than a fortnight. How does he manage it? If the five families are involved, I take it that Prince Giuseppe of Sanguinari is here.
Yes, ma'am.
I am the Princess Plethora of Monte Guano. Present my compliments to His Highness Prince Giuseppe and convey to him that I will grant him an audience. Here. Now.
Certainly, Your Grace. Yep.
This is terrible. It looks as though they're going to invade Monte Guano from five directions at once.
Don't fret, my dear. I'll soon sort this out. Prince Giuseppe is a bombastic lout, but I'm sure he'd rather get his way without having to lose troops in a fight.
I do hope so.
Men. You know, Rosalie, when God created Adam, he was only practicing. Now, There are two ways we can do this. We can have it tipped off the battlement.
My cannon!
Or we can bring it down, summon the local carpenters and smiths, and have it broken up in the courtyard.
We only just got it up there!
The ill becomes a sovereign to wine. Stop looking like a schoolboy who's just had his sweets confiscated.
Can we just put it away in a corner of the stables or somewhere? Do we have to break it up?
That is the agreement I have made.
Oh.
After a little wheedling and cajoling and some fetching flushes, thank you, Rosalie, you were very winning. Prince Giuseppe has allowed us until sunset to deliver the parts to the troops of the five families.
All the parts?
No. Montiguano will be allowed to retain the barrel, since it has no touch hole anyway.
Who told you that?
Father Ignazio. I've known the story of Montiguano's pride for ages. I never imagined you'd be silly enough to buy it back. Now, as to the rest, the gun carriage goes to Sanguinari, and each of the four wheels to Imbroglio, Costa Nostra, Penumbra, and Farrago.
What am I going to do with a denuded cannon barrel with no snecking touch hole?
I have been thinking about public sculpture.
Oh, go and design a flying machine or something.
Be quiet. Explain, Alessandro.
Well, the town square could do with a centrepiece. We could have the barrel upended, bedded in stone, well cemented, a monument.
Splendid idea. Well done.
It's nice to be appreciated by one parent, at least.
And from this day forth, let each citizen bring his children and his children's children to admire this grand new public monument to be known as the Peacemaker. Let all be told how Ludovico, their prince, averted the threat of invasion. Today, in consequence of my unparalleled sacrifice of my realm's artillery, Montiguano remains a sovereign state, free and independent. I know only an excess of emotion prevents you from breaking into applause. Concerning the currently low level of taxation...
Swine, that always gets them.
Thank you, loyal subjects. Go to your homes and be proud that you have lived to see your sovereign's hour of triumph.
And I thought Salvatore was pompous.
And as far as you lot, I do not wish to hear the word artillery used in my hearing for a year. Where's Alessandro?
He said he had some experiment to take care of.
Well, it better not be anything to do with the... explosives.
Oh, happy day. Now the South Tower needs re-roofing as well.
All those interested in hitting Alessandro about the head, fall into line behind me. Forward!
Well, Rosalie.
Yes, Plethora?
Welcome home.
The Leopard in Autumn was written by Neil Anthony. It starred David Swift as Ludovico, Sean Phillips as Plethora, Graham Crowden as Francesco, Paul Bigley as Alessandro, Saskia Wickham as Rosalie, Nick Romero as Salvatore, Christopher Kellum as Guido, and Kim Wall as the priest and Father Ignazio. All other parts were played by members of the cast. It was produced by Helen Williams.